Our message, Knowing God, His Good News to Us All. What is the single greatest misconception about Christianity and Christians? What would you guess? Don't say it. Here it is, that Christians are good. Someone asks, are you a Christian? And another embarrassingly answers, I try to be. Have you ever known a non-Christian that you consider way better than many of the Christians you know? How many? Anybody know something like that? Yes. So what does it mean to be a Christian? You must understand this in your mind and your heart if you are ever to truly know God. Today is Reformation Sunday. Why do we even have a Reformation Sunday? Well, I'm going to deal with that shortly. We remember Martin Luther, but we do not idolize him. He was an imperfect human being, like us all, like us all. But the Holy Spirit caused him to wrestle with his relationship with God the Father in order to reveal a most important truth. Luther could highlight this truth, and he did, and millions upon millions have benefited because of Luther's frightful experience. Luther was a very troubled young man. That's nothing new. There are a lot of troubled young men. But it was entirely about his relationship with God. It wasn't about money. It wasn't about a relationship with a young woman. It wasn't about recognition or fame or ambition. No, it wasn't about a whole number of things that trouble young people. It was about his relationship with the Father. He was traveling home to the University of Erfurt in 1505. A violent thunderstorm, and he was knocked off his horse, breathless and terrified. "Saint Anne, save me," he cried out. And at that very moment, he made a vow that if his life was spared, he would become a monk. And oh, what a monk he became. Luther said, "I kept the rule so strictly that I may say that if ever a monk got to heaven by his sheer monkery, it was I." He went on to say, "If I had kept on any longer, I should have killed myself with my vigils, my prayers, and my readings and other work." You see, Luther believed in this time of his life, like many believe today, that God has a standard and you must reach it. You must reach a certain level of goodness in order to be worthy of going to heaven. Do you know people who believe that today? I do. At his seventh year of being a monk, he was sent to Rome to conduct some monastery business. He was of the Augustinian order. He had great expectations. To go to Rome was the center of the church, its piety and its power. He looked at this as a great opportunity. He would be sorely disappointed. The church was weighed down by corruption and worldly lusts. In fact, they made fun of this serious and devout monk. He was not worldly wise at all. A shaken Luther climbed the Scala Sancta, the sacred steps, and as was the custom of the devout, he kissed each step as he went up. And he recalled scripture verses. But the one that stuck in his head that day was, "The just shall live by faith." The just shall live by faith. This was the very beginning of what the Holy Spirit intended to teach him. Now, you would say, at this point of his life, he wasn't like a lot of others. He took the faith so seriously. A lot of young men, including myself, didn't take it quite so seriously when I was his age. It was only later on. And the religion of his day held everyone in fear, especially the serious and the devout. It was all about your actions, your rituals, your works. How good were you? How well did you do those things? And one way you could appease this very demanding and fearful God of judgment was to venerate, worship relics. In Wittenberg, where Luther lived, Frederick the Wise, the prince, had amassed his storehouse of relics with more than 5,000 items listed in a 1509 catalog. Among these were a tooth of Jerome, usually hanging from a string, by the way, 4 pieces of St. Augustine. What do I mean by 4 pieces? Pieces of his body. 6 of St. Bernard. 4 hairs of the Virgin Mary from her head. Piece of Christ's swaddling clothes. 1 piece of the wise man's gold. 1 strand of Jesus' beard. 1 of the nails driven into his hands. 1 piece of bread from the Lord's Supper. And not to be outdone by Rome, 1 twig from Moses' burning bush. Shazam. By viewing these relics on the designated day, the eve of All Saints' Day, October 31st, and making the proper contribution, people would receive indulgences, reduction of their time in purgatory, up to 1,902,202 years. If you did it right, for yourself and for loved ones who had gone on. Luther's own hopes at this time were attached to penance and repentance. Penance is doing works to make up for your sins. In order for sins to be forgiven, Luther reasoned, they must be confessed. And to be confessed, they must be remembered. And if not remembered and not confessed, you're not forgiven. Luther stayed awake many a night, frantic and terrified that he had not remembered a sin and therefore not confessed the sin and therefore was not forgiven of that sin that would certainly damn him. Luther couldn't see a way out. To look upon a crucifix, all he saw was a Jesus who had come to judge him and find him wanting. It's as if God set people up and set him up. There was no way that he could be good enough, and therefore God must delight in condemning and damning people. It got to the point where Luther said, "Love God? I hate him." Enter the compassionate father confessor, Johann von Staupitz. Luther endlessly confessed to him. And one day he asked him, "Am I the only one plagued with such doubts and fears?" "No," responded Staupitz, "but I think for you it might be your meat and drink." He was obsessed. Wisely, Staupitz made Luther become a professor at the University of Wittenberg to teach the Bible. Focus on the Bible so you won't be thinking about your struggles all the time. Very wise advice, even today. So Luther began to teach the Psalms. And he was really taken with Psalm 22, especially this verse, "My God, why have you forsaken me?" These were the very words that Jesus spoke from the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me?" The fog was receding in Luther's mind and heart. He was beginning to see the glorious gospel in all its truth and power. And then another Johann came onto the scene that helped him make the complete breakthrough. His name was Johann Tetzel. Tetzel was selling indulgences. Hear him. "Listen to the voices of your dear dead relatives and friends beseeching you and saying, 'Pity us, pity us. We're in dire torment, from which you can redeem us for a mere pittance.'" Tetzel would shout this out. Can you imagine, with all the pageantry, even with things like this? "Open your ears, hear the father saying to his son, the mother to her daughter, 'We bore you, we nourished you. How can you be so cruel and hard now, not willing to set us free for so little? Will you allow us to continue to suffer in these flames? Will you deny us the promised glory? Remember that you're able to release them,' said Tetzel. 'For as soon as the coin in the coffer rings, a soul from purgatory springs.'" It was a jingle. To music, even. This was it. This was the outrage. Luther was extremely angry. The Spirit had pushed him through. He knew the good news of Jesus, that Jesus paid for our sins, a finished work. On October 31st, 1517, the eve of All Saints, Prince Frederick the Wise would again display his massive relic collection. Luther, filled with courage and truth, posted the 95 theses on the thick door of the castle church in Wittenberg. "If you have true faith that Christ is your Savior," Luther wrote, "then at once you have a gracious God. For faith leads you in and opens up God's heart and will that you should see pure grace and overwhelming love. No longer a slave to fear. We are made right. We're justified by faith, believing that Jesus had taken our sins upon himself. We're free." We're free. Here's the two-point message of our scripture for today in Romans. Pretty clear points. First, it is honesty. Have you heard about that little satellite that NASA has put up in the sky? Have you heard about this? You know, it beeps every time it comes right over a truly righteous person. Have you heard it? I think not. We've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. I'm no different than you. I haven't heard it either. I have a role as a pastor to play. Pastor Travis has a role to play. But we're sinners, saved by the grace of God. Many wonderful Christians are still held down. They're still plagued with fears and doubts, thinking that good deeds are a part of the equation of whether they're going to be right with God or not. You know, God demands perfection. Who's going to boast about their perfection? Anyone here? No, we can't. If it is faith plus works, then we're all in trouble. Because how do you know whether you've done enough good? I mean, if the works is part of the equation, how do you know where the line is that you've done enough to go along with your faith? It can't be. It can't be. Right here in Romans, it says we are justified by faith alone, apart from works. Now, here's the thing. Works will always come when you're right with God. We want to, out of gratitude, please our God, but also live a righteous life. Works are never fall behind faith in Christ and what he's done for us. Luther's joy should be our joy. Jesus was punished for our sins. All who believe are under God's favor. All who believe are under God's blessing, under his love, under his forgiveness, and under his wonderful care. Now, a long time ago, I think it was a couple decades ago, a Lutheran pastor got a card from two of his members who were visiting a quaint town in Norway. Hell, Norway. They sent him a postcard, and it read this way: Pastor, we passed through hell today, and we're very, very, very concerned. Most everyone here seems to be Lutheran. Yeah, I've always enjoyed that one. In a humble way, I want to say, it's good to be Lutheran. It's really good to be Lutheran. We know that Jesus did it all. We're not the only ones who know that, but we know it. We need to internalize the good news. We need to continually acknowledge the Father's tremendous love for us, that we are his precious children. We need to accept our acceptance. Accept our acceptance. Who are you? You are a child of God, saved by grace. When doubts and fears come, we need to remember how much the Father loves us, how much he is for us, that we've been baptized in that love, drowned in it, in the forgiveness that God has given us. And you know, I think we also need to talk about it. We need to advertise this good news. Someone you know needs to hear about this, and I tell you what, it can revolutionize their lives to walk in God's love there's no better way to walk. A woman from my previous church finally got it. She had grown up thinking it was all about her works and about saying certain phrases over and over again that made her right with God. But when she got it, and I can picture this today, she exclaimed, "Faith is a free gift, won for us by Jesus. Eternal life is a free gift. I'm going to heaven because my Father loves me." This is knowing God. And this is the good news that meant for everybody. In Jesus' name and to His glory. Amen. 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 Please rise.